34 through 42, I read through Jesus' name. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to this sermon being over. This is not a pleasant text. Both last week's text and this week's text are bitter and harsh and striking reminders to us that just because we're Christians, just because our sins are forgiven, doesn't mean everything is going to be peaches and cream. This text today continues Jesus' instruction of his 12 disciples as he is sending them out to preach to the people of Israel. He gives them the message that they are to proclaim, they are to preach, the reign of heaven is at hand. And Jesus very clearly and very plainly tells them that they will be rejected because of this message. That they will be hated, they'll be despised, they'll be kicked out of towns. Jesus tells them now today, he goes on to say that this is going to cause division, this message that I am sending you with. These words from the Prince of Peace. He says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." It's strange coming from Jesus' mouth. It's strange to think that the man who is saying this was the same one who, when he was born, the angels sang out, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among those with whom he is well pleased." It's odd to think that this same man who's speaking about this sword dividing families is the same one on the night before he died said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Jesus did come to bring peace, but he didn't come to bring peace to the earth. He came to bring peace between us and God. And there's a big difference. Jesus didn't come to bring world peace. The beauty pageants would be, pageant contestants would be talking about other things if he had. But Jesus didn't come to bring peace to this world. And so he speaks about this sword slicing through families. Slicing, pinning father against son and daughter against mother and separating all of these family units. And it sounds so terrible, and it is. And maybe you haven't had this experience within your own family, but I bet you probably know someone who has. Your Savior knows this. Your Savior knows this separation. Because as Jesus there hung on the cross, a sword passed through the indivisible Trinity as God the Father abandoned His only begotten Son to pay the penalty for your sins. God plunged that sword within Himself so that you could have peace with God. But now that you have this peace with God, it means that you are an enemy of everyone who does not have that peace. This world of sin, this world full of us sinners, we don't desire peace with God. We want to do our own thing and live our own life. And so this peace with God will set you at enmity with everyone who doesn't have it, even within your own family. The family unit that was meant to be one of God's greatest gifts to you gets divided because of this peace that God gives to you. Remember that. If you do not love Jesus first, you cannot love your family. If you do not love Jesus first and have the forgiveness of sins that He gives to you, you cannot and you will not show love to your family. It's impossible. And so as Christ pours His love into you, as He pours His grace and mercy and forgiveness into you, let that spill out of you so that even when your closest family members are at war with you because of the peace you have with God, let that grace and forgiveness spill out and fall even upon them. Remember that your relationship with God always comes first. The only reason you have a relationship with others is because you first exist as God's child. That relationship is stronger and older than any others. And so be careful then to not make idols out of your family. And that happens. Too strong of a focus on the family leads to idolatry. And granted, our relatives are again some of God's greatest gifts to us. But too often the idols that we worship aren't just images of wood and stone that we bow down to. Our idols are anything that we fear, love, or trust above God. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, but we don't. We take God's gifts and we look at those gifts and we nurture them and we care for them and we completely forget about the giver. And so any of God's gifts can become an idol for us. And therein lies the danger. That's why Jesus is sending out His 12 disciples to preach that the reign of heaven is at hand. They're announcing that all of these idols, all the things that we fear, love, and trust in God, above God, they're all going to die along with the rest of this world of sin. They're all going to waste away. And in Christ, the reign of heaven is coming. God is at war with sin in Christ. Christ, the great physician, has come to do a surgery, but it's not a pretty one. He has come to amputate everything within us that is incurable. That's why, as Paul said in the epistle text, we need to die to the law so that we may live to God. Nothing good lies within us, so we need to be brought to nothing. And that's what Christ does. That's what Christ does is He sends out these disciples to preach that the reign of heaven is coming. And anyone who believes them receives the promised rewards that Christ sends out with them. Christ promises that anyone who receives these disciples not only receives the disciple, but receives Jesus. And not only receives Jesus, but receives God the Father. Even when this division is caused among your family, if you in faith receive the message that the disciples bring, you have the presence of God the Father. And towards the end, at the last paragraph of this text, after all these disturbing words of Jesus, he gives some promises. And they're maybe a little bit difficult to understand, talking about one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. He's still talking about the disciples as they go out. They are prophesying. They are speaking for God. And as they speak for God, whoever receives that message, because in faith they know that that disciple is speaking for God, they receive the same reward as that one, as that prophet who gives that message. As these men, disciples who are righteous through faith, go out and proclaim the righteousness that comes through faith, those who receive that message receive that same righteousness of Christ that comes only through faith. And finally, Jesus says, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, and he's still talking about the disciples here, but whoever gives the smallest act of generosity and care to those disciples, Jesus says, God notices. And in no way will that person, that tiny act of kindness, go unnoticed. That person will in no way lose his reward. I don't want to sugarcoat any of this, because these are hard words from Jesus. And again, they're a reminder that not everything is going to be happy and blissful, and that peace like a river, though it's there, it might seem pretty distant and we'll probably forget about it. We'll look at these broken relationships, all of this turmoil and strife that we're in, and we'll let it cloud that peace that Christ has given to us, and it's going to hurt. It does hurt. I've felt that hurt. And yet, that promise of Christ is that even amidst that division, He is present with you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit come through the message that was first given to us by the disciples and is carried on now through their writings and the Word of God and through their preaching. We have that presence of God, and God will give to us that cup of cold water. God will refresh us even in the midst of that turmoil and strife. And He will provide for us refreshment both now and in the life of the world to come. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.